you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's a great way to open a film with MGM's iconic lion, but MGM is being acquired by Amazon, price tag of nearly $8.5 billion, Amazon's second largest acquisition after it purchased Whole Foods 4 years ago for nearly $14 billion. This is about Prime Video, Amazon's streaming service. Joining us to talk about what's involved, what changes hands in the purchase, is KPCC Arts and Entertainment host John Horn. John, good morning. It was just a week ago we were talking about what was happening with Warner Media and Discovery joining forces.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, the opposite side of the same coin. I'm going to use like a grocery store analogy because you referenced the purchase of Whole Foods. I think what Amazon is after here is something like this. Let's say that, you know, you see that Vons or Whole Foods, but Whole Foods wouldn't sell it. Vons is selling Coke, you know, at a place that is unbeatable. It's at or below cost. And you go to the grocery store to get it. And while you're there, you buy a lot of other stuff. So you have what's called in grocery terms a big basket ring. Jeff Bezos talks about something called the flywheel effect, which is that good content can attract more Prime subscribers, and those people in turn spend more on the site. So if you get people in through original content or acquisitions, in theory, it has a rub-off effect on what people are doing on Amazon. And the real issue is Amazon has, you know, almost as many Prime subscribers as Netflix, but people who go to Amazon aren't necessarily watching content. Bezos said a month or so ago that, you know, about 3/4 of those people watch some content. He didn't say how many hours. People who go to Netflix are not shopping for socks or vitamins. They're there to watch content. So even though they have a lot of subscribers, they're not essentially people who are going there for the content.
We should talk about the types of films in the MGM library that Amazon's acquiring, and we should clarify the classic MGM pre-1986 films, those great musicals and all the big-budget films for which the classic MGM studio was known. Those were sold off to Turner, and it ended up in Warner's vault. But there's still, what, 4,000 other films part of this deal?
Yeah, there's 4,000 films and 17,000 TV shows. And I'd say the top three movies that Amazon is interested, one, James Bond, two, James Bond, three, James Bond.
That's MGM, a lot of money for James Bond.
Well, I mean, you could look at it as an annuity as long as, you know, and it's, those movies are expensive and there's probably a lot of profit participation with the Broccoli family. But again, you know, what Amazon needs is the ability to make big movies. I mean, they have had some success in prior regimes acquiring films. They did very well with The Big Sick. They did well with Manchester by the Sea. But if you're going to compete with Netflix and Disney Plus, you got to spend money to make money. And MGM, because Amazon hasn't shown that they're willing to spend $100 million on a movie, they're making a very expensive Lord of the Rings series right now. But if you're going to compete with Netflix and you're going to compete with Disney Plus and you're going to be in movie theaters, because Amazon has not been like Netflix, they have given their movies a theatrical run, you got to spend a lot of money. And MGM, in theory, would have the facility and the aptitude and the skill set to do that. So, yes, the library is nice, but generally people don't show up to streaming services just for library content. They want to see what's new, what people are talking about, and what they can't get anywhere else.
Amazon also seems to be pushing its ad-supported free streaming service, IMDb TV. With that 17,000 hours of TV content, I would assume a fair amount of that's going to show up there, wouldn't it?
I would think so. I would think so. And again, if you look at what other companies have done, you mentioned Warner Media going over to Discovery. You could look at the Disney deal to buy most of the assets of 21st Century Fox. Not that long ago, and I'll say maybe, let's say 5 to 7 years ago, studios looked at streamers like Netflix or Amazon as, you know, a money source. They had a new way of making ancillary income on their old titles. So they sold pretty much everything they had to streamers like Netflix or Amazon. and took the money. And what they did, in effect, is create their own worst enemy. They created a network, if you want to call Netflix that, I think you can, that was a direct competitor. So as time went by over the last few years, the studios are reeling in those deals. I mean, they're not licensing their content to people like Netflix. So if you're going to be a streamer and you're going to compete in this world, you have to generate your own content. Some of it could be library, some of it could be new stuff, but that's what it's going to require. And these people are spending a ton of money. I mean, I think Netflix, let's see, Amazon spent $11 billion on video and music content last year, which was up from $7.8 in 2019. Netflix spent more than $17 billion, so that's almost more than 50% more. And Disney says it's going to spend between $14 and $16 billion on content for streaming by 2024. That's a lot of money. And if you're going to compete with those guys, you're going to have to spend money.
Gasp. So a lot of money. We should also mention, of course, the historic MGM studio in Culver City decades ago was acquired by Sony, which uses that lot, much smaller, of course, than it was in the heyday of MGM. And there's all kinds of housing and other development on what was the back lot of that studio. I haven't seen anything about, is there any real estate in this at all? Or is MGM just used leased office
not
space?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, they've sold their lot off. I mean, I think what the whole idea is like a new distribution platform. And I think the real challenge for Amazon is, yes, they have a lot of Prime subscribers, but can Amazon kind of become more of a movie company? There is a famous or infamous story about Manchester by the Sea. So it wins the Best Actor Oscar and the Best Original Screenplay Oscar in 2017. And as somebody at Amazon told me at the time, they're like, this is amazing news. We just won an Oscar. Let's get it on the Amazon homepage. And the story this person told me is that Amazon said, great, again, Oscar ceremony, February 26. We can get it up there by, you know, maybe the end of April because every other homepage is booked until then. You know, we've got our sock promotion. We've got pet food deals. And the person at Amazon Prime was like, that doesn't work. You have a moment to seize on this huge win, and it doesn't mean anything in 2 months. So if you get it, you got to start thinking like a movie company, not as a vendor of, you know, stuff that comes in a box to your front porch.
John, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much. So you think you and I are going to be talking about another acquisition or merger next week?
I don't know what's left. I mean, I guess so. I mean, Sony recently licensed its content to Netflix because Sony, unlike pretty much everybody else in town, doesn't have a distribution platform for streaming. I guess the next thing is like, who's going to buy? Is somebody going to buy a theater chain? No idea. But yes, I think this is a story that's going to keep on giving.
All right. We'll look forward to it. John, thanks so much. Great to talk with you.
My pleasure.
John Horn, KPCC Arts and Entertainment host and reporter. Coming up on Air Talk, what's going on in Tokyo as it's looking to start the Summer Olympic Games late July, but it's dealing with a significant COVID-19 surge and a very low vaccination rate among the populace of Tokyo. We'll talk with Phil Hirsch, former Chicago Tribune Olympic specialist and sports writer who continues to cover the games through his blog Globetrotting. Phil Hirsch with us in just 1 minute on Air Talk.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.